This is the Tyler Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD on the net, bringing you what's happening and who's happening on the campus of Cerritos College. Here are your hosts, Tito Benavides and Enrique Rivera.
Today is October 12th, 2011. Welcome to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour on WPMD.org on the net, bringing you news and information campus-wide. Good morning, Falcons. I'm Tito Benavides.
And I'm Enrique Rivera.
And I'm guest co-host Paola Perez.
Cerritos College is undergoing plans of a complete top-to-bottom reconstruction of the school to provide present and future student body with a better space to enhance their education in. Staff writer Alejandra Ayala reporting.
Okay, my name is David Aguirre. I'm Commissioner for Student Services and a representative for several committees on campus. Oh, I'm a sophomore here.
Yeah, okay. Let's start off by saying, how many students appeared to the meeting on Thursday?
On Thursday, it was just me and another commissioner, my friend Noe.
And what was discussed?
They did a complete presentation, a PowerPoint presentation about the buildings that are going up and coming down. It was nothing too specific because this is just the beginning stages of the facilities master plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they discussed when buildings are coming down and when buildings are going up.
What was like the focus on what buildings?
The focus, every single building. And yeah, they have a structure of a plan of when buildings are coming down, what buildings are going to be used. When buildings that are occupied are demolished, they're being moved somewhere else. But they have a really good plan to eliminate, I think it's called swing space. Swing space just meaning that if they demolish the SS building, to build a new one, they wouldn't have to move them in a temporary building where they can disturb other classes. Instead, what they do is they build a new building, they keep that building standing, and when that building is complete, the new one, they demolish that one and then they just move. So that was a big issue that, and it saves us a lot of money.
Okay, did they explain why they're doing it?
A lot of our buildings are really old. Like, I think the LA building is like maybe built in the 1950s, kind of when our college was built. They're in desperate need of construction because some of them are falling apart, including like student activities completely gone. Like the roof is falling apart. And just renovations, I mean, I think that we get funding from the state and we're pending funding for like a new burn right center. And I think that money isn't used. I think they just, I don't know if they give it away or I don't know what happens, but yeah, we have big plans.
It's like a surplus that they could
use. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think something like that works out. Yeah.
How does the budget look? It looks like really good that they have enough.
We only have enough for maybe like the first step of the project. Everything else, we don't know. I don't think we know where the money's coming from. That's all pending. So at this point, it's just planning. It's exactly what it is, facilities planning. It doesn't mean that we have the money or anything. We're just making plans so when the funds come in, then we can start building. But at least we have the plan.
In your opinion as a student, how would it affect all of the students, all of the Cerritos?
Okay. I think it's great that we have a plan, even though we don't have the funds. According to the numbers that we've been presented with, there's going to be a lot more students. It will be able to hold at least... Oh, no, a lot more students in our campus in buildings than it does not now. Especially with, there's a building that's called the Gateway Building, yeah. That's going to have admissions, and it's going to have, it's going to be kind of connected but separate with student services, everything student services. So when a student comes in, they get everything they want in one building instead of having to go from department to department like we do kind of here at school. And I think that's probably going to be one of the most beneficial things. And another thing... since the Gateway Building is going to be facing Alondra, it's going to be more like, it's Cerritos College, it's here. People are going to be able to know, walk by. Exactly, yeah. And kind of, I think it'll bring a lot more attention. It's going to bring a lot more students. And most of all, I think the Falcon Square, they have plans to make it more, student-friendly. There's going to be areas for students to congregate, to study. There's going to be outside areas that are quiet areas that are, like, if you don't want to be in the library, but you also don't want to be outside in the noise, and you have that in between. So we have a lot of plans for that, and there's going to be a lot more shade areas, shade structures, more parking in here at school, and I think it's great.
Going back to the one that you said about that, you guys, for the budget, they would start with the first plan, meaning what? Like,
okay.
What exactly?
From what I remember, the LA building is next to be renovated, kind of, I think, demolished, and they're going to place it in the corner of Laundrie and Studebaker, and... I don't want to give you wrong information, but I would have to look at the plan.
And yeah. Well, then there's the upcoming meeting.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
And then they're going to talk Similar to what they spoke about?
Exactly. I think it's going to be exactly the same, just so more people can either give input and just see what's going on, because I think if there's things that the student body is, I mean, not the student body, yeah, the student body doesn't, like, say they don't want the hill to be removed, or they want to know more about why it's being removed, and if it's being placed somewhere else, then it's probably not a bad thing that they go and give their input, even though it's going to be moved, because we have to look at about it in the context of the plan, not just what we like. Because, I mean, I like being in the hill, but if it's, I'm not just going to say, oh, no, don't take it away, because just because I like it. If it's going to let room for more buildings, then I think that's, students are overlooking that, and that's why I'm there in the meetings and in and student government to help straighten things out and make them understand. But I think it's great, and it should be cool.
Campus News Hour asks students how they benefit from the grassy hill located at Falcon Square. Students from all majors congregate on the hill for different reasons. Assistant News Editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
Mark Martinez.
And your major?
Theater.
Why do you come out to the hill?
To relax, in the shade, sit in the grass.
What is it about the hill that's so comforting?
I think it's that it's a social environment. Everybody just comes to hang out and relax in between or after classes, sometimes during classes.
Why do you choose to come out here as opposed to, say, the library or the LRC or Student Center or something?
Fresh air.
And what do you think about the amount of students that come out here? Like, for example, the amount of students that are out here right now, do you think it's a good majority of students, or do you think there's, that more students should take advantage of it?
I think people take advantage of it when they can. I mean, I know people either are hungry and going to get food or going to class, you know. So I think it's always a good amount. I mean, you could really see the crowds gather when there's, like, events and stuff, but I think it's good.
Michael Acosta.
And what's your major?
Psychology.
And why do you come out to the hill?
Right now, it's just to pass time. I'm waiting for a class right now.
How often do you take advantage of the hill?
Basically, Mondays and Wednesdays, every day.
You said that you are out here waiting for your class to start.
Yep, my next.
Why don't you go to, say, the library, or what is it about the hill that makes you want to come out here?
I don't know. I don't know. Open space, more. It's quieter.
Do you think that this is the best spot on campus to spend your time, your quality time?
Yeah, probably, because there's more people walking by. You can interact with more people, stuff like that. So, yeah.
John Rodriguez.
And your major, John?
Music.
Okay. And I'm trying to find out why students come out to the hill. What is it about the hill that makes you want to come out here and hang out?
I guess the location is really good. It's in the middle of most of the major buildings. There's no other place on campus like it where you can just sit down. You have some people by the LA building and the social sciences building that like to sit down in the grass area, but here you have steps, a bit of shade, and like I said, it's centralized to most of the, at least the classes I go to.
So then you're saying that the location is part of the reason why you choose to come out here?
Yeah, I mean, as a music major, my building is right there, so I can just come out in 2 seconds and just hang out with everyone.
Okay, what do you think about some of the other locations on campus to go, say, the library or the student center or something like that compared to the hill?
Well, I work in the library, and you know, we got a lot of people that hang out there, but at the same time, like, as a worker there, I wouldn't encourage it because the noise level gets high, and that's a problem. But it is a nice place to relax. You can use a computer, read a book or whatever. But, you know, here in the hill, you can just be as loud as you want and not worry about anything.
So last question, do you think that the hill is the best place to spend your time in between classes on campus?
Yeah, if your friends are here. If not, then you sort of look like a loner.
Justinia Segura?
Your major, please.
I don't know yet.
So you're undecided?
Yeah, I'm undecided.
And the question is, why do you come out to the hill? What is it about the hill that makes you want to come out here and hang out?
First, because I'm in the music department, so I come and wave, but then also the shade. It's very relaxing with the grass and everything.
So the location is probably part of it.
Yeah. And then sometimes they have like some stuff like music. It's pretty nice.
Do you just come out here in between classes, or do you spend your time here whenever you can?
It's in between classes to eat my lunch. It's pretty nice.
What do you think about the eclectic mix of people that are out here?
It's good.
Is there anything about the hill that you don't like?
Smoking. Yeah, it kind of kills the whole nature part.
So smoking kills the vibe.
Yeah, look, you can see that. It's like, oh. I come here to smell the fresh air, and then someone smokes, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go.
So that would be the one negative thing.
The
that
one negative. If they can move it like to where there's no trees, it'll be fun.
Bree, acting.
Okay, and your major, Bree?
Social work.
Okay, and why do you come out to the hill? What is it about the hill that you like?
The hill is the spot for me and my friends. You know, it's the kickest spot. That's where we go to.
And what is it? You said that the hill is somewhere where you guys know to meet up at, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like the thing that everyone knows. Like, let's meet up at the hill.
How did you learn about the hill?
I just walked by it, and it was a big hill, and I liked it. And it catches your attention, so.
Okay, now, what is one thing that you don't like about the hill?
That sometimes my butt gets wet, because sometimes it's moist, and I get, like, the leaves on my butt when I get up. So I don't like getting a dirty butt from the hill.
So then you would like maybe benches or something?
Maybe some blankets.
Designs by Lulu is the company that Maria de Lourdes put together to enhance the look of the average wheelchair. Maria de Lourdes, also known as Lulu, first started working for a wheelchair upholstering company 20 years ago when she began to think of ideas to make a wheelchair look more fashionably appealing. Staff writer Lucia Sarabia reporting.
My name is Maria de Lourdes Gutierrez.
And tell me about Designs by Lulu.
Well, Designs by Lulu, that was an idea about 20 years ago. I started working for a company where they used to do regular upholstery for wheelchairs. So I used to start adding different colors to the upholstery. I used to put myself in the place, like if I am in a wheelchair, how I want to look. You know, I want to give a little more life to the chairs and for more spirit for the people. That's the way the idea came up.
How do you think this idea, like what you do to the wheelchairs, makes people who use the wheelchairs feel?
Well, I have very good experience with the people because some of them, sometimes when I have done any design for them, they call me back or they send me an email saying, no, you're making a big difference for us and thank you for thinking on us because nobody else does, you know?
Right.
That helped me to motivate more, to do more, create more different things for them.
How long does it take for you to design a chair?
Oh, okay, that depends what the customer wants.
Okay.
Because everyone is different. Everyone has a different idea. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I used to do one of a kind.
Oh, really?
I don't do like two designs, make custom work.
So like, let's say, like right here we see a picture. Is this for a wedding?
Yeah, that was for a wedding.
Okay, so how long would it take you to design something like that?
Well, to design something like that, it will take me like a couple days.
A couple days?
If I use the whole day working on it.
Oh, okay.
That is the way I do it, because when I start something, I can stop and then I see everything done. Actually, that picture, that was for a fashion show.
Oh, really?
Yes, because like five years ago, mm-hmm. I put together a fashion show for people in wheelchair in the convention center in Long Beach. And that was one of the designs they was in the show.
Are you going to do any more fashion shows?
That's my idea, yes.
That's your idea?
Okay. I want to do more because sometimes my friends, they ask me when we're going to do something else. And,
right.
And it's good for them because they can get more motivated and they get more self-confidence about themselves.
Have you thought about customizing designs for, like, crutches, walkers?
Yes. Actually, what I do is different straps for them, like seat belts.
Oh, really?
To hold them because people in wheelchair, they have different activities. Mm-hmm. You know, they play sports, basketball, tennis, rugby. And some of them, they need different accessories to adjust to the chair when they're playing.
Okay.
So that's another part what I do. I design different things for them, whatever, you know, they need to play better or to be safe in the chair.
Yeah.
They have a completed life.
Yeah.
I mean, they have babies too. I mean, there's a full life on them.
Where do most of your customers come from? Like overseas, national, local?
Well, actually, I have many local because I've been here in this area for 23 years.
Oh, okay.
But I sometimes ship to different places where in the past I used to go to the Ability Expo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show for people with disabilities where you can expose your product.
Uh-huh.
And it's the way you get people know about what you do. And sometimes I get from Chicago, from Atlanta, New Jersey, Colorado, Texas.
Yeah.
For England too.
Really?
And Spain too, yes.
Wow.
The idea is big. I want to make it big. But unfortunately, many people in wheelchair, they don't have the recourse because what I do, the medical or, you know, they don't pay for it because they don't think it's something they need. They want to go through the basic.
Yeah.
So I do what I can to help them too, but I would like to go like bigger.
So what are your prices like?
Well, it depends on the customer.
Like the ranges, like what's the lowest?
300 to 700. It depends because I made a couple of years ago a wedding back dress with a long tail, everything, you know, embroidered by hand, like a dress.
Yeah.
So it's depending the work.
Yeah.
Sometimes I embroidered the design they wanted, and sometimes they want something very like unique, like the one I made for England. That was a huge design in the back The backrest was 18 by 18 inches, so the designs covered the whole back of the backrest.
Oh, really?
So there's different colors in metallic thread, so mm-hmm. with the stones and
yeah.
It depends. I use everything, whatever you can use to make a dress.
Do you work alone?
I work alone.
So you don't have a team?
No.
You work alone?
I work alone.
That's awesome. And have you thought about patenting your idea?
I registered my idea many years ago. I didn't make the pattern. Because sometimes it's too expensive.
So how long have you been in business total?
20 years.
20 years?
In the wheelchair industry, 20 years.
And do you plan on expanding? Because you work from home, right?
Yes, I work from home.
Do you plan on expanding or maybe putting up a store or anything?
Well, the dream is to have
a boutique.
For handicapped people. Okay. Where they can come and they can get fixed whatever they need. They can order whatever they need and they can find what they want.
Have you started anything with the boutique?
Not yet. I want to start with the website first, like building a website where they can see the different products, and then maybe one day we can have a boutique.
Okay. And your website has been up for how long?
Let's see, maybe like 9 years. Using the website, I have something very simple because it's just the idea. I want them to see what they can have. You know, if
right.
they have an idea, they can create it. They call me and they say, oh, can you do this? Yes, we work together with me, and they give me the idea and I start designing.
Alicia Smith. I'm a nurse major.
Have you heard about Designs by Lulu?
No.
What's the custom wheelchair upholstery and embroidery designs for wheelchairs? Would you ever try it? Would you consider doing this?
Yes.
Yeah? How do you feel about it?
It looks cool.
What would be like a good price range for you?
It has to be lower than 100.
Lower than 100? And what design would you get on your wheelchair?
Like stars or hearts, stuff like that, or my whole initials or stuff like that.
Okay.
What are the designs?
Is it Philemon Garcia? My major is automotive.
Have you heard about Designs by Lulu?
No, I haven't.
You know, it's a custom wheelchair upholstery with embroidery and designs for the wheelchairs. Would you ever try it?
Yeah, I would try it.
Yeah? How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel about it's a good idea for anybody that wants to customize a chair.
Yeah.
For any occasion.
Would you, if you used it, would you refer it to any other people or...
Yeah, I would refer it to friends.
Have you ever thought about doing this before the flyer?
Before the flyer, yeah, I've seen a lot of designs on vultures, and yeah, I've been like looking into it, but I've never heard of these people.
You think it's cool?
I think it's cool, and they do good design.
For many people of Cerritos College, October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month is a chance to stand up and shed light on the naked truth of an illness that is expected to take more than 39,000 lives this year, according to the Susan G. Komen for the Cure website. But for freshman middle blocker Jessica Dorado, the women's volleyball team's involvement brings personal satisfaction to her. Editor-in-Chief Pete Moye reporting.
Jessica Dorado, right side.
So this is the first time you've kind of seen the volleyball team do the whole breast cancer thing, correct?
Yeah.
What has it been like for you?
Well, I really like it because in my high school years, we also did like a breast cancer, like walks. So I'm kind of usually involved with breast cancer, so like I like it. It's cool.
Is there any way you've kind of connected with it, like personally? Do you have anyone in your family who's been affected by it, or is it just kind of like... something there for you?
No, it's just something there. But for me, like, I appreciate the people who support it. Like me, I'm gonna donate my hair to like people with cancer, like in a couple of months. So
Why are you doing that?
Why? Just I don't know. I've always wanted to donate my hair and like for a greater cause.
How do you think the rest of the team has reacted to, you know, the whole event and stuff like that?
Well, we're all supporting it. I mean, it's not like we see it as a drag or anything. So we all like enjoy helping out, and we do like 50-50 tickets and stuff, raffle tickets, just to like fundraise money.
And what's been the biggest thing you learned from it?
Well, I mean, I've already like done stuff with breast cancer, but I mean, I really like how everybody's getting together for like one cause. Like not only like is it volleyball, but I see like a lot of other students, and even like you can see like national like football players are like supporting the cause too.
You kind of spoke a little bit about seeing students, you know, participating. Do you think Cerritos College as a campus does enough for breast cancer and other like awarenesses and stuff like that?
I think they do some, but I mean, it's never enough. So I mean, we can always like do a lot more. But I mean, I think that we do some to like help support and like bring awareness to like different organizations and stuff.
Do you think 1 month is long enough for breast cancer? Should it be like extended, or what do you think about just having it for a month?
I think a month isn't enough because I don't think there's never enough time to, like, be aware. I think that it should just be something that we, like, support all the time. But, I mean, I guess, like, just a 1 month, like, fully all out is, like, you know, it's better than not having anything, because, I mean, a year, like, dragging on, people will probably just, like, kind of get bored of it, or, you know, like, just see it as a drag or something.
With the receiving of a $3.8 million STEM grant awarded by the U.S. Department of Education, Cerritos College plans to increase the number of Hispanic and other low-income students attaining degrees in STEM fields and to develop model transfer and articulation agreements between the 2- and 4-year HSIs in such fields. Staff writer Enrique Rivera reporting.
Carolyn Chambers, Dr. Chambers. I'm the Dean of Science, Engineering, and Math. And I've been here for almost 4 years as the dean of this division. So we've seen this new building come up, and we've seen some, you know, improvements in the programs and things like that. We submitted this grant in the spring and just found out 2 weeks ago that we got the grant. It's for $3.5 million over 5 years. And there are a lot of different parts to it, and different people who were involved in writing the grant. One big part is a bridge program to help students come in and be successful in math and science. So the big focus is on success in math and science. And because there aren't enough people going into math and science, for the future of math and science, we need to get more people completing AA degrees and transferring and getting bachelor's degrees in math and science. And so that's the basic thrust of the whole program, is to get more students with degrees in math and science. So we're starting with a bridge program, and Maggie Cordero, who's the head of the Pathways program, she helped put that part of it together. There's a bridge program to get kids from the high schools in to learn about careers in science and math and learn how they need to be prepared. And a lot of that preparation is math preparation, since a lot of the students are not ready to do college-level math when they get to college here. So a lot of it is assessment in math, seeing how they can improve in math as quickly as possible, and getting them moving through the math courses as quickly as they can. And learning about careers and seeing what scientists do, and doing activities that use math and use different concepts in science and things like that during this bridge program during the summer. And lots of counseling that's involved in it too. So we have counselors and academic coaches who can help the students make sure that they know what they need to do to continue on in math and science. And then another part of the program is to concentrate on the transferring to the universities, so that students can see where they're going once they leave here. We'd like to have a lot of connections with the local universities. We've talked to people at Cal State Long Beach and Cal State Fullerton and Cal State LA and Pomona and, you know, a lot of the local CSU campuses and also the UC campuses. We want to try to connect with their orientation programs and their science programs, so that students can visit their campuses and see what the science students are doing there, and also connect with their research labs so that our students can actually do research projects during the summer at these different universities. They do that a lot already in the biology and chemistry departments, but we want to expand it to the other departments in science and math. So that's sort of in a nutshell, basically preparation for college and making sure there's a good math background and know about science careers, and then the transition to the universities and to make sure that students are on their way into the universities. There'll be tutoring and supplemental instruction. The instructors will be involved, spending more time with the students. And we're working very closely with the success centers, especially the Math Success Center, so that there'll be more support there, and that the students will understand how they should use that through all of their courses whenever they need it. We're focusing on two programs, the Earth Sciences Department and the Computer Science Department, because those are two departments that right now don't have a real large transfer program. And so we want to look at those programs and see how we can make them more amenable to moving onward, so we bring in some more of the upper division kinds of courses and more advanced courses in those areas that the students might be interested in if they wanted to go on to a bachelor's degree.
This week's Free Speech Zone focuses on the impact that life and the death of Apple chairman Steve Jobs has had on the daily lives of students here at Cerritos College. Staff writer Philip Oakley reporting.
On October 5th, 2011, Apple CEO Steve Jobs passed away. I went out and asked students how they felt about Steve Jobs and how he affected them in their lives.
Alan Perez, I'm majoring in sociology. Well, I mean, I actually own a Mac, so I mean, yeah, I mean, he created my Mac. So when I heard, I was a little shocked. I mean, he was like a Bill Gates. So I mean, it's a great loss for this world, and he was a great man too. So yeah, so he created everything we have, every iPod, every Mac we have. So it's you know, it's a big thing. It's a big thing for our generation, just for something like that.
Matt Millard, my major is pharmacy. I don't know exactly how he's affected my life. He's just, I mean, Apple's kind of a big, you know, thing, so.
You have like an iPod or anything, or iPhone?
Yeah, I have an iPod, so.
How often do you like use it?
Not often, actually, so he hasn't really affected me that much.
My name is Adrian De La Riva, and I am a broadcasting major. A-D-R-I-A-N, Adrian, and last name D-E space L-A space R-I-V-A, De La Riva. It's a great impact losing someone that started with so little and built up to having, like, a company that's really powerful from rich and helps the community grow from, like, the iPads, iPods, and computers as well.
Arian Fowler, computer science and dance. Well, considering that my major's computer science, I'd say a lot. So it was pretty sad for me to hear and stuff. So I felt kind of bad. So, like, me and my friends all have posts on it right now.
And do you have any Apple products?
I don't, but my cousin does. He's, like, a big Apple fan. He has, like, all his stuff, basically.
And do you happen to, like, use it on a regular basis?
Yeah, we use it a lot for music and programming.
Sure, Isra Hussein, and I'm...
Can you spell your name?
Israhussein. It's actually helped a lot because there's a lot of things you can't do now without his help from everything he's done, but hopefully they come up with more things that are pretty cool and thank him for what he's done.
And do you own any Apple products?
Actually, I don't, but I have friends that do, and you know, so when I do need something and they help out, it's pretty good because they have it, so you know, it's pretty good.
Thank you. This is Philip Coley from Telemarks. Back to you.
Hello, everyone. You are all invited by the Feminist Majority Leadership Alliance, the People's History Association, and the Philosophy Club to a theatrical rendition for social justice. Marx in Soho is a play by Howard Zinn, acclaimed historian and political human rights activist, premising the life and politics of sociologist Karl Marx. Performed by actor Bob Wake with the Iron Age Theater Group here at Cerritos College, we proudly bring you two shows this Monday, October the 17th. The first will begin at 12:30, and the second one will begin at 5:30 in the teleconference room, Center Auditorium, LC-155. In light that this is a student-sponsored event, admission to the performance is free and all are welcome. Check out the attached flyer online at telemarks.edu. See you all there. Please remember, this show is Monday, October the 17th, 12:30 and 5:30 in the teleconference auditorium, LC-155. Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a sensational rest of the week. Peace is equality.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat. The Talent Marks and TalentMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat. The Talent Marks and TalentMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talent Marks and TalentMarks.com.
Feel the beat. The Talent Marks and TalentMarks.com.
The Talent Marks and TalentMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
Attention, Telemark students. Professor Cameron is dying for a carbonated beverage. Is there a Diet Dr. Pepper in the house? Approximately 12 disabled students will be attending the Disability Mentoring Day on October 12th at the City Hall Council Chambers in Los Angeles. Aurora Segura, a counselor of the Disabled Student Programs and Services, has participated with Disability Mentoring Day for the past 4 years. Social media editor Yuri Gutierrez reporting.
Aurora Segura, and I'm a counselor with the Disabled Student Center. I help our students with disabilities with preparing for employment, such as a resume, that kind of thing, and also with career guidance. So I kind of give them some assistance with their career goals and things like that. But mostly it's employment prep, getting them ready for resources and employment that may be out there.
Approximately how many students show up to
For mentoring days?
Yes.
We usually take in our vans, there's two vans, and this year we have 12 students signed up. Usually that's about the number, 12, 13 students that go, as many as can fit in the two vans. But more can go if they wanted, but that's how many we take in our van.
And approximately how many times have you participated in this?
Oh, this will be the fourth time, yeah, that Cerritos College has participated. So this will be the fourth time that I've participated with them.
What's the excitement level like with the students, like once they actually go out there to the work field?
How excited are they about this? Oh gosh, they're so excited. They come and dress really nice because that day of the event, it's like going to a job. And so they come, you know, some of them have a tie. The girls are dressed, the young ladies are dressed really nice. They're really excited about going, and they know they're going to meet important people, professional people, and they know that this might be a potential job in the future for them, that may be a resource that they can connect with for future. So they're excited. You know, in the morning they come in all nice, and then when we pick them up afterwards, after the event is done, they're all super excited. Oh, let me tell you what happened. I went to see, you know, a couple of years ago, some of them went to like Boeing, which is a private agency, you know, the planes and all that with the government. And they loved it. They loved watching how the planes were built and all this security stuff. So, you know, we don't know who they're going to be mentored, paired up with this time, but it's always exciting to hear who they went with.
What is the most rewarding part about being able to share this with them?
That they can, there's employment out there for them, that they can work, that there's opportunities. A lot of them feel that, what's out there for me? What can I do? Can I compete with everybody else? You know, there's people out there who are looking for employment, and can I also compete, even though I have a disability? And so this is a way to show them, yeah, because some of the mentors have disabilities as well, so they get to see that a person with a disability is able to work and be successful. So it just opens opportunities and awareness for them that they didn't know was out there.
What would you do to improve the Awareness Day, if you could, in any way?
I think for Mentoring Day, for the next time, I guess I would advertise it maybe more and encourage students more, maybe go out and do more outreach and try to get students to consider going, because a lot of them don't know about it. And so even though we have, you know, like we have you guys cover it, and then we put it on the Falcon, we do advertise it and stuff before the event. I think there's always room for improvement there, trying to get more students to come and participate.
The Triathlon Club here at Cerritos will soon have the chance to show off their skills and determination at the 2011 Playa del Rey Triathlon on Sunday, October 16th. Assistant Opinion Editor Miguel Hernandez reporting.
Orlando Alfaro, Kinesiology. I'm the Vice President of the Triathlon Club.
What are you guys doing today?
We're just doing a couple of race preps. Like, we're all going to bring in the equipment that we're going to use when it's time for the Marina del Rey Triathlon. We have the pools, so we're going to try to get a swim workout in, and those who want to do running can do running, and those that want to do cycling can do cycling.
And when's the actual triathlon?
The triathlon is October 16th, 2011, and it's on a Sunday.
Do you guys compete as a group or individually?
We all compete together, but we all have like our own little three-man groups, since it's a relay triathlon, which consists of either two or three people, and since we have enough people, we decided to just do three teams. I mean, a variety of teams with three members in each one.
Do you have any comments?
I just hope to see how everyone does. For most people, it's their first triathlon. For most people, it's their first time ever doing something like this. So it's really exciting, and it's a really good group unifier.
David Fabish, I teach English.
So you're the advisor here?
I'm the co-advisor. I'm sort of like the junior second string advisor. Nay Bueno's the main one. I just help her as much as I can.
Do you help coach, or what's your job?
No, I teach English, and so you don't usually have people in English who are doing coaching. I don't have any coaching background, but I've done triathlons for the last 3 years or so. So, like, I've done maybe 20, and I help out as I can and give advice, you know, if people ask me for some. But, you know, I teach English, and so I don't have the background to coach that, and I does.
Christopher Damari. My major is computer science.
So what's going on today with triathlon?
Today we're actually preparing for a race in a couple weeks. It's going to be at Marina Del Rey. It's a sprint triathlon, ocean swim, bike, and running. And we kind of set up a bunch of relay teams. So each person takes one event. We have 5 relay teams that we're going to do. So we have about 17 people participating from the club.
You mentioned a qualifier tomorrow. Is that for the event?
You know what? Actually, tomorrow we're going to do a bonfire. But Saturday, one of our advisors is going to help us do a swim clinic over at Ocean Swim. So we're going to practice doing open water swimming and doing those types of techniques.
Are you participating in the race?
Yes, I am.
Bicycling?
I'm probably going to do 2 part of the events, probably biking and swimming.
What do you get if you win first place?
I believe if everybody gets a t-shirt first for completing the race and participating, I'm pretty sure they have trophies or medals for the first place winners.
What's the race called?
It's called Marina Del Rey Triathlon.
Are you going as representing the school or as your own team?
We're just doing this to bond the team together, cohesiveness, give people kind of an idea of what it's like. And then at the end of the year, we're actually going to have everybody do their triathlon, but the whole thing by themselves, each individual. So we're going to do that one in Hemet. That one's a Hemet triathlon.
So the club consists of a lot of the practicing and actual triathlons?
And a lot of it's about technique. Triathlon isn't just pure, you know, muscular and power and strength. It's, you know, learning how to get through some things faster and how not to get, you know, what not to do and what to do.
With the defeat at the hands of Long Beach Community College, the Cerritos College volleyball team gather their thoughts on how to bring victories to the campus. Assistant sports editor Lauren Gandara reporting.
Susie Whitmer, Long Beach City College. What do you think was the key to your team's success?
I think it was overall team effort. I think both teams were equally matched. And it was just a battle all the way through the end. It was a good game. It was a fun game. It was a great game.
With the whole breast cancer support, why did your team also decide to join the cause?
Oh, because I think it's a great time to do it, and it's a great month to do it. It's important. It's for all of us to be, we all need to be aware of it, and it's just important to all of us.
What do you think that your team needed to improve on?
We need to start from the beginning and play every point hard. We kind of play hard, kind of fall down, play hard. We need to stay consistent, work on our consistency.
Do you think that this game against Cerritos was a bit of a challenge?
It was. It was very competitive. It's fun, but that's how we like, you know, that's what we like to play. We like to play competitive games like this, and it's always fun to play against Cerritos because there's a little rivalry, and it's always a good match.
Doreen Yosua, and I'm number 4.
So what do you think was the key to your team's success?
We worked hard together, we fought together, we played, and we just, like, all played as a team, and I think that's what made us, you know, see that we have to fight more when we're down. So I think that was our key.
How hard is it going into the third match?
It wasn't that hard. We knew what our mistakes were, and we knew what we needed to do to fix them to get this third match. So, yeah.
What do you think that you guys need to improve?
I think we need to improve on communication and working together more so we can be more successful, because that's our main problem right now is communication. And so once we get that, I think we'll be good and put our talents together.
Guadalupe Garcia, number 33.
What do you think guys could have improved on?
I think we need to work on picking up the tips that the other team scores on us. We hesitate a lot some of the times, and we just need to go for the ball, be aggressive.
How did breast cancer awareness affect the way you guys play today?
I don't think so. It was just like it did motivate us a little. Some of the girls like pink, I guess. I don't know. And we just came out here and did our things. Nothing had to do with it. It was just us.
This is the second year you guys have done breast cancer awareness. Why did you guys decide to go bigger with the shirt?
Last year we didn't go big because we didn't have a gym, but coach decided this year that we should just go all out even if we don't have our gym. So it was just the thing that coach decided.
So you guys were neck and neck throughout the entire game. Do you consider it big? Long Beach City, your guys is toughest game that you've had so far?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to encounter teams that are way tougher than Long Beach. It was just Long Beach is kind of a team that's at our level.
so we go back and forth, but we could definitely beat them.
Katie Christensen, and I'm number two.
You guys were neck and neck throughout the entire game. How
Tough was it? It was pretty tough. Like, we came in here and we were confident that we could win because, I mean, we came back from a great win from L.A. And I don't know. We just played our game.
How hard was it going into the end of the fourth game?
In the fourth game, I was really tired and exhausted, but I really, really wanted it. And I think it just motivated me to play harder.
What did you guys could have improved on?
I think we roll shot it a lot more than we needed to. But other than that, I think we pushed really hard, and the team that wanted it more, I guess, ended up winning, so.
Oh, my last name is Velasquez Maria Teresa. I'm the head of volleyball coach.
So what do you think that your team could have improved on today?
Well, we're improving a lot of things. We practice some draw shots. We practice a lot of the blocking. And I think we did a lot of things that we put in on the court. It's just, you know, and when it's a five game, so we make a little mistakes and this and that, so we can get back. But an improvement, that was a lot. So the girls that play together, so Rod Shack, we got those ones. And, you know, it's just that. That's it. We're improving a lot of things.
The two teams were neck and neck most of the game. How hard was it going against Long Beach City?
Well, you know how Long Beach City is like, you know, against play Long Beach City is really hard, and, you know, we want to win. But, you know, they start fighting up, and they didn't stop fighting, and the thing is that we start fighting up. So that's why it's about it, you know. They start making aces and ours and serve receive, and we can get back. And the time, you know, make errors is a point, earn points for them. So that's the rally score. That's why I don't like the rally score, but that's how it works.
The second year you guys have done breast cancer awareness. Why did you decide to go bigger this?
Yeah, this is the second year. You know, the first year was in 2009. We were at Cerritos in our gym. And now this year, this is here, you know, because I want to keep supporting. Besides, we don't have the gym. I said, you know, I'm going to keep supporting and, you know, and get the program because we're a woman and we want to support a woman. And I think that's what about it. So just support and help the program and fundraise money for them.
Sophomore midfielder Juan Ochoa led the Cerritos College soccer team to a 9-0-1 record overall. Cerritos played against El Camino College, winning with a score of 1-0. Magazine editor Berlin Romero reporting.
Giovanni Mayoral, number 28. I play right back.
What was your thought about the game throughout the first half?
Well, we missed a lot of chances, and the only two opportunities that they had, they missed them too. So in the second half, we played better than them. And one of the crosses that I think was Charlie, sent it to the goal. Well, Juanito shot it with their left foot and scored.
What's one of the things that you think that Cerritos should improve more in their games?
Don't get scared, you know. Keep trying to shot at the goal, because the goal is gonna come. To relax that. Don't get pressure on it if we don't score the first half. We have another 45 minutes to play.
Do you feel the defense was better than it was?
I think they're the same. They're not that. I don't think they're good at all on defense side. They're just big and strong, but they're really the mentality that they play. They just play long ball. We call that troncos. They're not good enough. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So you don't feel that could be a threat to Cerritos?
No, at all. We had the game where we didn't score a lot. We didn't score chances, 25 chances.
Who was the guy you said scored?
Juan Ochoa from Paramount High School. He's 14, I think.
It was made in the second half too, right?
Yeah, second half, in the middle of the second half.
Do you feel like Ochoa is one of the stronger players, or?
He's one of the, I think Ochoa is one of the best center mids that we have on the team.
Center,
yeah.
What's one thing you guys could work more for your next game against LBCC?
Well, to another thing we could improve, don't hesitate and try to score more goals, so the pressure, we can get pressure for the second half, you know, get score for another team if they have the chance. Just try to score as many goals as we can, so as soon as possible, so, you know, we could take that pressure away from him.
Do you feel Eli had the chance to catch up to you guys throughout the second half of the game?
No, they didn't have the chance. They didn't have no score opportunity in the second half. We were the ones having
More control of the ball?
Yeah. We had the control of the ball, but and the score opportunities, they didn't have no score opportunities again at all.
Do you feel Cerritos is ready to play against LBCC, or they still need more practice?
No, I think we're ready to play LBCC this Friday because we have the team and the players to beat LBCC.
Juan Ochoa, midfielder.
Yeah, how did you feel going into the game? Like, were you determined to go and win this all, to tie, or how were you feeling going into the game?
Well, before I went in, like, all of the shots that we were taking were going to the goalie or just outside, like, some weak shots and everything. And I was, like, when I was to go in, I was, like, I get one little chance of getting the ball. I'm going to put it in the net. That was it.
What's one of the things the team could have done to take control in the first half of the game?
Score the chances we had. We just needed one so all the goals could come, but it was impossible. The other goalie was, like, having luck.
Was there some techniques that you guys captured from that game that you could work on today's game against LBCC?
Like last game that we missed a lot, this game we had to score them. Like that's the main focus. Like any chance we get, we gotta put it in so the game can't get complicated.
So far, you've made 4 goals in the past 4 games. How do you feel process through the season has been so far?
What can I say? Just the fact that every time I go in or something, I'm focused. Like, I know what I'm going to do. Like, I really want to play. So it's like, once I get in the field, I show it. Even though if I score or not, I try to do my best, make the team win.
Jaime Cano, number 24, left defender.
How did you feel going into the game against El Camino?
Well, pretty confident. We've been working pretty good in the off season and during the summer, and we felt pretty good about the game.
What are some things you think you guys could have done to have the first half of the game score goals?
I think we could have created a couple more opportunities, maybe push the ball around more. We didn't play really our style in the first half, although we did create a couple of opportunities. I think if we would have played more on the ground, we would have created more scoring opportunities.
Do you feel that the defense for El Camino was on their game, or they were just not letting you guys score anything?
I think that mostly it was on us. It wasn't that they were on their game. We didn't attack them the way we should have. And I think in the second half it showed because we created more opportunities and scored a goal.
Who was one of the players that you think did good at this game?
I think Juan Ochoa went in there. He didn't start, but he went in as a sub, and he held down the midfield pretty well. And he was the one that got the our goal, so he played good overall.
Project Love Foundation returns to Cerritos College to provide gifts for kids in the Navajo Reservation near Little Singer Community College in Arizona. The project focuses on helping children from the Navajo Reservation by buying them holiday gifts. Campus News Hour speaks to project coordinator and professor Marla Burns. Staff writer Enrique Rivera reporting.
How long does this last?
Just for about a month between October and November. Then it takes us a couple of weeks to get the gifts all ready. They come and get the gifts. They pick the gifts up usually mid to late November. They take them back to the school, and then they get them ready for the Christmas parties that are usually about somewhere around December 15th, right in there. And this year, I'm hoping to go to the Christmas party. I've never been able to go to the Christmas party. Well, I never have been able to because of finals, but this is the first year where my finals are at the beginning of the week, so I'm hoping that if they have the party on a Thursday or a Friday, that I'll be able to go. So, and that would be wonderful. But I've gone out there. I just haven't gone at Christmas time yet.
That's right. Anything else?
No, I love doing it, and I think it's, it really speaks volumes to the faculty, the staff, the students, and the administration here at Cerritos College. They all, over the years, they've been so generous and taken care of hundreds, thousands, really, of children, if you figure it out. I just guesstimate about 20,000 kids have been taken care of over the years.
For people that are interested, where could they go?
Well, if anybody was interested, just come to my office or probably call me because I'm not always here. But I'm going to leave some of the kids that are left over with the secretaries. So when I'm not on campus, somebody will be able to either take their name down or whatever.
Anna Edwards, and I'm the administrative assistant to Dr. Marilyn Brock in Academic Affairs. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Marla for all her endless hours of doing this. You know, she does this totally on her own time. And the campus, I think, every year looks forward to this. My aunt is the recipient of some of these gifts, as she's the supervisor for three different schools. And so every year I tell her, Auntie, I'm not sure if this is, you know, going to be the last year. So she's always prepared every year that this might be the end of Project Love. And so I get a call from Marla every around this time, and she says, Anna, can I get the list of names and ages of the kids from your aunt? And my aunt, when I call her, because she's on the reservation traveling to different schools, she gets so excited, and she, you know, gets the names and the information. She sends it back to us. So this, you know, Marla, thank you so much for doing this every single year. You know, she puts in endless hours doing this, organizing it, making cupcakes, you know, and encouraging everybody to attend. So I just want to say thank you. It benefits so many children on the reservation. I was born on the reservation, and I lived for a very short time on the reservation before my parents came out here. Both my parents are full-blooded Navajos. And when I go back to visit my family on the reservation and I see the kids, the gifts that they get here from the college are not anything that they would get at Christmas time. Most of their monies are spent at Christmas time. The families would save monies to buy hay for their livestock or to do repairs on their stock trailer, because that's where most of their income is generated, is from the different livestock that they buy and sell. So when I see the list of things that they could possibly get, you know, I'm just so grateful, because I know these kids are just going to love it when they open their gift. You know, the last week of school before they leave for Christmas break, they're going to have at least one good gift that they're really going to enjoy during their Christmas break. So I really appreciate that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
There's, you know, if I could add, can I add a couple of things? Sure. They love basketballs.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's such a fascinating thing, because, you know, it's very rural out there, and they love basketballs because all you need is a hoop.
Yeah.
And one child can play that by themselves. Mm-hmm. And they become so good at basketball by the time they're in high school. They're pretty good basketball players.
Yeah, yeah.
Several have gone on to the University of Arizona and become champion basketball mm-hmm. players. And practically the whole reservation goes to the games.
They do.
It's wonderful.
Basketball out there is like their favorite pastime. When I go out there and visit, they're heading to the next basketball game. And she's right. My little nephews or cousins, they just, oh my goodness, they're so good at basketball, but they love it. They love the sport.
So the one, you know, somebody gives them a little gift when they're maybe 6, 7 years old, and you wouldn't believe what happens to that gift. So. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, and Anna knows this from a long time ago, I've always known that my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, was full-blood Cherokee, but I could never prove it. And I spoke with Wilma Mankiller, who was the principal chief of the Cherokees, and she, you know, we talked, and she said, you know, if he's not on the Dawes list, it's going to be next to impossible to be able to, you know, enroll. But this year, I did find proof.
And
I did. I finally did. And so I don't know that I'm going to enroll, but I just, it's just heartwarming to me to know that I now can, you know, document my roots. And my great-grandfather, I never got to know him, but I did get to know, you know, my grandfather a little bit. And it's just something I treasure.
This has been the 8th installment of Talonmark's Campus News Hour here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the printed edition of Talonmark's at news racks located throughout the campus. We would also like to invite you to log on to talonmark.com for the latest in breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the Telemark staff, I'm Tito Benavides. Have a great day, Falcons.
We'll be right back.